politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
So I don't know what the heck, honestly. Why are all these hackers coming after me this week? I could swear I've gotten at least four. And it was sort of a slow week, so I decided to call one of the numbers. And so I did, and it was a guy in another part of the world. I'm guessing he may have been in Queens. He was not a native English speaker. And I said, I got an email from you. This is Microsoft, isn't it? And he said, yes. And then I said, great. Well, I got an email saying that I ordered a new year subscription for my Microsoft, but my Microsoft subscription isn't up. And I got charged $265.37. I'm just wondering if we could talk about that. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry. We've gotten a lot of these. Can you tell me the order number? And I said, I can. I got the order number right here. So I told him the order number. And he said, ah, one second. He clicked and he, you know, moved some dishes around. And then he came back and he said, ah, yes, I see the error here. So I can fix this. I said, great. What do we got to do? He said, well, I need you to download something. I'm going to send you to a website. And I said, great. What's the website? And he said, okay, you ready? And I was like, yeah, I'm totally ready. So I type it in. He tells me the thing. I'm typing it in. And he finishes telling me what it is. And it's very clearly a remote access site where if I had done this, he would have full access to my computer in a takeover mode. So he finishes telling me the web address. And there's thunder outside. I said, sir, this is the FBI. I'm going to need you to go on hold for a second. And he immediately hung up on me. Click.
That is disturbing. And that's why there was thunder in the background.
Yeah. This horrible... This bandit was gonna get in my computer and wreak some havoc. And the only thing that stopped him was me knowing that he was who he was. I do have an idea, though, for what we can do to make this more fun next time.
Well, I think one of the things is that if they don't answer the phone, Microsoft, that could be kind of a problem.
Oh, no, he did. But I still think that there's... So my thing is, Adam, you know it's fun to just keep them on the phone for a bit. So you can say something like, well, I do have that number, but oh my gosh, there's a cute bunny outside. Do you like rabbits? I like rabbits. And rabbits are cool. Do you ever notice that some rabbits have long ears and some don't really have long ears and some have these weird tails and some have like... crazy tales that look like they were done for a French couture show. And they get really frustrated with you if you do that, but it's super fun.
Well, also, you know, you could say, tell me that number again.
And oh, yeah, that's a good one. Or
what's that URL? I have trouble hearing. Tell me again.
Well, one more thing I wanted to say was one thing I wanted to do that I didn't do was I just wanted to read a random number to him. Because I know no matter what I say to him, he's going to say, yes, oh my God, you have this problem. And it could be fun to just do that over and over and over again.
Or what you could have done is pretended that you were in the United States Senate and simply start a filibuster and see how long you could filibuster him on the phone.
That's what I was doing with the rabbit story.
Hi, I'm Adam Levin, former director of the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs, founder of Cyber Scout, and author of the book, Swiped, How to Protect Yourself in a World Full of Scammers, Phishers, and Identity Thieves.
I'm Beau Friedlander, a person who really needs that book because hackers seem to love me.
I'm Travis Taylor, resident tech guy and guy that's commonly trying to hack Beau.
And we're all here, and this is What the Hack.
So what's going on today?
So today, we have a very interesting conversation with a young guy who got gamed while he was gaming.
Oh, God, I hate when that happens.
So today, we're welcoming Christian Capistani to our show. He's got a very interesting story, but first, let's find out the interesting story that's Christian. Where are you from?
Well, I'm from right here, Olympia, Washington.
Washington, all right,
yeah.
All right. Travis is actually from Oregon, so he's kind of like your neighbor.
A little bit, yep.
I'm in Arizona, which I'm not your neighbor. Bo is in Arizona right now, but he's generally in New York, and that means he's really not your neighbor.
I think of your house as being some really a lot closer to Japan, actually, than to me.
That's a nice way of thinking about it.
That's very true. So, okay, we know now that you live in Washington. What do you do?
I've done a lot of things, but right now I work at QFC. It's like a local grocery store.
Right.
As a cashier.
But now I understand you have an interesting avocation. You're also a musician, right?
Yeah. I've made just music on the side for fun, but I've also played cello for roughly 15 years. I don't know if I'm going to count 2020 because I didn't play in an orchestra at all, but you know, we'll see what 2021 holds.
So you play, do you play orchestral music and solo cello?
No, I am too nervous to play solo cello.
But be honest, you can play the first cello suite.
Yeah, a bit, yeah.
Awesome. It's one of my favorite pieces.
Solo cello actually sounds like an Italian drink. Have some solo cello.
So here's the deal. I use Yahoo Finance. I use it to make money because it works. Not just because they're a sponsor of the show. Heck, I've been using them for years before they ever called to become a sponsor. I do a lot of investing, and I need to make split-second financial decisions, and that's where Yahoo Finance comes in. I trade stocks, and I trade options, and you can't trade them in a vacuum. You've got to know what's going on. Yahoo Finance gives you the opportunity to look at the whole picture. I mean, breaking news, editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts. I love the customizable charts. They have it all. At Yahoo Finance, I'm part of a community of over 90 million users. You heard me. 90 million folks use Yahoo Finance because they're helping you on your way to financial success. Visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com, yahoofinance.com.
I just got back from France, and there was a lot of stuff I couldn't stream because I was in the wrong region. But using NordVPN, I was able to stream everything.
I use NordVPN too, but it's more to protect my private data, like bank details, passwords, and online identity. There are a million trackers online that are just sort of watching you, and NordVPN is a great way to get around those.
NordVPN can switch your virtual location, allowing you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price.
If you're traveling and you're using public Wi-Fi, NordVPN can protect you wherever you are.
It's not just that. NordVPN also comes with threat protection, which helps protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites.
NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, and it'll only set you back the price of a cup of coffee a month.
To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/WTHack.
And hey, there's no risk. It's a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Check the link in the podcast description.
Have you been hacked? We'd love to hear your story. Give us a call at 623-252-1828 or email stories@whatthehackpod.com.
So, Kristen, you're also a gamer, right?
Yeah, I've yeah.
What's your favorite games to play?
I like strategy games mainly. So the Civilization series is one of my favorite of all time.
What do you think of the add-ons to Civilization 6?
I was averse at first, and then it grew on me. The more I went back to play Civ 5, the more I was like, I kind of want to do that. And I do
do they have like a COVID add-on for this? Like Civilization seems like, does it include that or no?
No.
That would be end of Civilization.
There is a Black Plague scenario mode, but there is no COVID specific.
Yeah, it's funny. They keep on adding new nations to Civilization, which is can be pretty cool. But the last add-on had like vampires and you could play as Beowulf. It was weird. Yeah.
So they basically they could do the COVID thing and have like the anti-vaxxers, the vaxxers, the
right.
Awesome. I managed to make it political. Sorry guys.
Now my my son is 9. He loves Fortnite. And Madden. Because he's beaten me like 48 times so far. So
Christian, I could kick your butt at the one game that I'm really good at, but I bet you've never played it. It's called Pong.
You'd be surprised. My first console, I grew up playing my dad's old Atari.
No, that's so sad to me because it's my only claim to fame is I can play the old Atari games.
I haven't played it in years though, so you probably got it on me.
All right, then you're toast. You're on.
I was somehow ended up on the floor playing Pong and it never worked out. I was always ponged. But anyway, there is an interesting story in connection with your gaming career, which brings you to us. So why don't you tell us what happened?
So I should start with what the game was. It was called Happy Wheels. And if you know anything about Happy Wheels, you know that it was very popular like 9 years ago. Insane, like Fortnite levels of popular, at least among middle schoolers like me at the time. I had always played the trial version of it, which was only like 5 levels and you can only choose one character. And it was basically like a 2D platformer, but you were a guy on a bike going across like, you know, challenges and obstacles. The full version was always being played by YouTubers. So you could see like, oh, they made their own courses and they're playing as like the dude on a lawnmower. It's weird. So I went, okay, I want to play this. Didn't do any research into it. And I went to download it. It's a Flash game. So I kind of set myself up for failure there. I downloaded 3 things and all 3 were viruses.
Mm-hmm.
The first 2 were just like adware. They popped up and like they showed the name of the program. So it was very easy to remove. I found the names of them, by the way. I didn't remember them last time, but it's Amson and Siltware. Those were easy to get rid of. They slowed it down. But then the third one was called Strong Vault Online Backup. I don't even know what this thing was supposed to do, because every time I would right click anywhere, it would start loading something frantically. It was like Strong Vault is loading and I had to like smash the cancel button to get through to the right click and like open something.
Like digital bubble gum on your shoe.
Pretty much. Yeah. It was like, oh, I stepped in that again. Oh, it's on my shoe. You know,
exactly. Yeah, it's weird. Strong Vault's been around since at least 2013.
Oh, really?
That is a, just infamous, adware strain that
when I heard Strong Vault, I immediately thought of Braveheart.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
But that's a movie. So
let's hear more. So what happened when you noticed that you had gum on your shoe?
My instinct was, of course, with the first 2, I was like, oh, let me go find Strong Vault. You know what I mean? Because it says Strong Vault. Everything else was saying what it was. I couldn't find it. Couldn't find anything related to it. I did the whole like, you know, at the time, my knowledge of computers was very small compared to what it is now, even though I'm pretty sure I still can't remove it. But I looked for it in Control Panel. And I also did like a whole search overnight through like just the C drive on my computer of the word Strong Vault and just let that happen. And I couldn't find anything like it. And it just like slowed down my computer. The longer it was on there, the more slowed down it was. And this was like an old Dell that had to have a graphics card just to run Windows XP.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So then what happened?
I just left it on there. I was able to, I still have the computer and everything, but it was the family computer. And that was around the time I was getting into Minecraft. And so I was able to somehow host and play on a Minecraft server while Strong Vault was like eating away at my CPU.
So that computer basically became the family station wagon that everyone drives and gets beat up, but it's no longer really useful.
Exactly, exactly.
All because of this stupid thing that you clicked on.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Stupid green download
Adam,
link.
Do you, I'm sure, Adam, you can tell him exactly how to remove it right now.
Oh, yeah, I'm your guy. Actually, This is the right moment for us to bring the voice of God, Travis.
Hello.
Hi, voice of God. How are you?
Doing okay. Yeah, Strongvolt's been around for quite a while. It makes sense that that would pop up in alongside a Flash program, just because they were both kind of at their most viral, roughly around the same time. You can find instructions about how to get rid of Strongvolt, but it was infamously aggressive. The nice thing about it is it doesn't, or at least it didn't, exfiltrate any of your data. It's not like ransomware or anything like that. It's just deeply, deeply, deeply annoying in terms of, from what you were, from what you were talking about. Yeah, it tries to sell you an ad for absolutely everything that you do. And that's kind of the, that's one of the reasons for its general notorious reputation, because it's telling you it'll back your files up online, but really it's just giving you the equivalent of a commercial break once every like 2 seconds.
My understanding is that it is an app, not a virus per se.
Right.
I know that, I did a little poking around, and I know that it does break some rules out there, specifically around PHI. Adam, I'm never as precise as you. Tell them what PHI is.
It's protected health information.
Yeah, so there's a HIPAA violation there.
Yeah, it's a HIPAA violation, which is the federal data protection law for the healthcare sector. And with PHI, think of it as it's all of your sensitive personal information as well as medical information. So whenever your personal health information, your medical information gets mixed in with your sensitive personal information, that's considered PHI.
So I know that this does affect PHI. Like there is a HIPAA problem with this particular app. It exposes it in some way, but I wasn't really paying attention because it didn't seem germane. But how is this legal?
It certainly skirts the edges of legality. One of the main ways that things like this end up getting installed is they will very surreptitiously add a little download approved link. So if you're, say, looking to download a game, there'll be something saying, the larger message will say, download this here. And that'll be what downloads Strongvolt. And then there'll be a tiny little checkbox underneath that. That'll be the thing that'll let you download the game. A whole bunch of different software packages online that really just kind of take over your computer with ads. A lot of them are attached to free software downloads. The way that a lot of the websites make their income is by kind of giving you these unwanted kind of passengers along with whatever it is that you're trying to download.
At the risk of making someone have a snitty fit, I would like to suggest that that is not the most cool practice, but it is just to make money, right? It's like a get rich kind of at a mediocre pace scheme.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why Microsoft and Apple have both really moved toward trying pretty aggressively to encourage people to get their software downloads through their approved stores.
Yeah.
So, that obviously makes extra money for Apple, for instance. It gives them a little bit more control over what it is that you're downloading. But it also means that they're able to vet the software that you're putting on your computer.
So this isn't now, Christian, are you a person who has ventured on to a site like, for instance, the Pirate Bay?
Hypothetically, I know quite a bit about pirating.
Aye, Captain.
Hypothetically.
As do we all. But I would say, Darknet Diaries had a song on recently that was the Pirate Bay song, and it's hilarious about BitTorrenting. The question I have for you is you were looking for a way to customize the game, yeah?
When I originally downloaded the viruses?
Yeah.
No, I was looking to download the game itself.
Oh, the actual game.
Which I didn't realize I couldn't.
I see. And there was no other way, no other place to get it?
Oh, no. I could have just gone to the website. This is like a huge mess up on my part.
Awesome.
Like, I could have just looked up Happy Wheels full version. Probably would have gone through.
Ah, the dreaded shortcut.
Yeah.
This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric e-bike.
With an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, it's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Plus, every Electric e-bike ships free and only requires quick, toolless assembly.
This is my first ever e-bike, and the experience has just been great. I was a little bit intimidated at first because I hadn't gone biking in a while, but the 500-watt motor that the Electric e-bike comes with really gives you a nice little boost, especially if you're trying to go uphill or pick up some speed.
Data shows that e-bike riders take their bike out more often. That means you get more exercise, more exploration, and wait for it, fresh air.
And riding an e-bike isn't like, it's not cheating. It's just making it possible for you to be out there longer on each ride. And speaking of things going a little slower, you can finance Electric e-bike for as little as $49 a month.
Get into spring with Electric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. And please mention that What the Heck with Adam Levin sent you in the post-checkout survey.
That's Lectric ebikes.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, Bo, but first, if we're going to mention Pirate Bay, we have to explain what Pirate Bay is.
Yeah, well, Pirate Bay was a site that morphed into a political party, which morphed into a religion, actually, called the Downloadists or whatever they're called. But they are a group of people who made a platform where you can easily get pirated IP. Travis, did I do that right?
You did. Good job.
Shiver me timbers.
Wow.
So this has nothing to do with Johnny Depp.
Look what I got. I got a jar of dirt. I got a jar of dirt. And guess what's inside it?
No, but funny enough, when Disney was going after Pirate Bay because they were getting really snitty about their content being available on the Pirate Bay, they did this whole campaign about how pirating is bad, and then the next ad would be for Pirates of the Caribbean. Which was kind of funny.
And the Pirate Bay is still around.
Now it's AI, right? It just keeps, it's like got its own life. It's turned into HAL 2000.
I don't know what you're talking about, HAL.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me. And I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Yeah, it keeps bouncing around and they keep on getting different country codes and domain names, but it's still very much out there.
Well, they also, Adam, this is the best part. They tried to buy two pylons in the middle of the sea.
Sealand.
Call it a country. Sealand, yeah.
Yeah.
They tried to buy Sealand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want my own country.
Kristen, how do you know about Sealand?
Okay, I love history, and I love the tiny little parts of history that are just like kind of relevant, but also not very. Like Sealand, it's got some, you know, you can look into it. Like there's some important like political opposition behind it,
100%.
But it's just kind of cool that a dude just set up Sealand. You know?
Yeah, and then when he was tired of it, so he put it up for sale, and then the dudes from Pirate Bay were like, I would like to have it. That's what we need. We need a country, because they can't do anything to a country.
I didn't know they tried to buy Sealand. That's hilarious.
I think we should create a country called Bolandia.
Oh, Bolandia, where everyone's called Bo and Bofina.
That's a pretty bodacious plan you got there.
But the bonus structure is great. Anyway, Oh, the dad jokes. You know, we apologize for that. So did you ever get to ride around on a lawnmower on that game?
Yes, I did, because I found out I went to school the next like week. I was like, yeah, I tried to get the full version. I couldn't download it. My friend looked at me like, download? What are you talking about? Just go to a website. And yeah, I played it for a little bit. And
super awesome.
Yeah, that was it.
And it was all over. And then you just had you had turned the family computer into a jalopy, but other than that, everyone was good.
Yeah.
Do they call it the Christian computer now that it's been jalopified?
No, we just say the old Dell and everyone knows. Because it was really just my dad that used it other than me. And so every once in a while, he'll have me like open it up. And I have to like use a different power supply from my newer, but older computer to actually run it, because there's a bunch of files on that hard drive that I haven't gotten around to getting off of it yet. So every once in a while, I'll be like, hey, can you grab that picture from like 2004? It's like, yeah, I guess.
My kids just hit me up for every video. They made about 4,000 videos in Photo Booth back in when they were about 10, 12 years ago. And they just asked me, is that computer still around? And old dad has to go to storage and pull it out for that one thing. But I have a question for Adam and Travis, which is something that I feel like I kind of know, but I, like I said, I haven't gamed since a game came in an 8-track cassette, basically. We practice something called the 3 M's. How did the 3 M's apply to this, Adam?
Well, again, the whole thing is, how do you reduce your attackable surface, minimizing your risk of exposure? How do you effectively monitor, and how do you manage the damage? One of the ways that you reduce your attackable surface on something like this is read reviews, make sure you totally understand where you're going. Always, you know, the old line that I like to give people is, if you don't want remorse, go to the source. So like as Krista said, if he just simply went to the website, he would have had a much better experience, and he wouldn't have had the human version of the movie Turbo in his life about the snail.
A little far from home, aren't you? Garden snail.
Wait, and to jump in here, don't stop with the 3 M's, but I just also want to say, Christian, as a musician who may one day write a huge hit, you know the value of IP. And so if you write that song, you want to get paid for it. And the people who made that lawnmower version of the game want to get paid for it too. And it's, you know, come on. Go to the source is a really good piece of advice, Adam.
So, but the 3 M's really are, you know, basically, what are the kinds of things that you need to do to make yourself a harder target? How can you find out as quickly as possible that you have a problem, which is the monitoring part? And the damage control plan, which is now what? It's really all about, what do I do now in order to insulate myself from ever doing this again, and to get myself out of this mess in the first place? And it's always important to think in terms of minimizing, monitoring, and managing. And now, Travis, from a technological viewpoint.
Two of the main things that come to mind are, first of all, not downloading anything to a really important device that has sensitive information. It's a lot better to crash the family station wagon than it is to crash your dad's Porsche.
True that.
Yeah, if you were to put adware on something that you relied on for work, for instance, that would be catastrophic rather than merely irritating. And the other one is that's a little more specific is that right now a huge vector for adware and malware is video game add-ons. There are a lot of things, especially for Minecraft, on the Android App Store that promise you either additional functionality, like the equivalent of adding a lawnmower or something like that, that end up actually just completely stealing your data, slowing down your phone, and sometimes even rendering the device completely useless. So, to that extent, the fun thing with a lot of these games is the fact that they can be extended and expanded. You can add more things onto them. But as far as that's concerned, to Adam's point, make sure you're keeping a very close eye on where it is that you're getting that. If it's just something that doesn't have a lot of reviews or isn't officially supported by the software developer, that is very likely to be something with some ulterior motives.
get back to your point, Travis, about the vulnerability of a machine that the whole family's using. You have, you know, this example, which is super obvious, but then there are things that are not as obvious as gum on the shoe. They're invisible, but they're in your computer and they really can track what the person paying the bills in your family is doing. And that can be, if not a catastrophic event, a super annoying event that makes the next 2 months of your life way more complicated than they need to be. This is just to say that there are dangers out there and that your attackable surface is, you know, it is what you make of it. Really, you can make it big or you can make it small. But if you're, you know, think about like the karate guy, and this is going to be very hard to do on in audio, but wrap your one arm around your head and curl up your foot and bend your legs in, and you know, you're a lot harder to hit. And so you try to shrink your digital surface in the same way. Think like Mr. Miyagi.
Walk right side, safe. Walk left side, safe. Walk middle, sooner or later, get the squish, just like grip.
You know, again, we really appreciate you coming on today. And you talk about an issue that, frankly, impacts a lot of people. A lot of people are gamers, and a lot of people game from family-related computers. And all sorts of horrible or not horrible things can happen depending upon where you go, what you click, what you're involved with. And therefore, just be careful. And good luck in your music career, in your other careers, and in your gaming career as well.
See you on the high seas, Christian. We'll see you in the Pirate Bay. Arr.
Unofficially. If I were to be there.
Hypothetically.
might find something on my computer of use to you. Anyway.
Maybe. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What the Hack is a Loud Tree Media production in partnership with Large Media. That's LARJ. Media. You can find What the Hack wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media. You can find more information at adamlevin.com.